This is Gary Butterfield.
This is Cole Ross.
This is Monster My Podcast.
And this is Beholder Fest 2017, Part 3.
There's a monster in my podcast.
End of week one. Welcome to Beholder Powers.
Yes.
Cool. How did you think Beholders flew?
I thought it was magic.
Me too.
Yeah.
Like you, extremely naive, Claude. Beholders fly with magic. Me, wise, exploding brain. It's actually a slip sack.
It is a sack with a heretofore unidentified gas called teucium.
Teucium.
Yeah.
So they have this little sack. They create this teucium, and just it, the reason why they stay upright is because it's mostly at the top of their head. Like, okay.
Yep. It's mostly at the top of their head. They can, if they want to, fly upside down, but it exhausts them after 3d6 minutes. Or you can cast anti-grav on them and they will turn upside down anyway, but it doesn't bother them. I'm just picturing it like a ship foundering, just like,
I'm just imagining it being really like one of them coming down from like upside down, like Spider-Man kissing Mary Jane.
Boo.
Oh, for real.
but this teucium can be harvested. There's a chapter on items later on, and you can get special tools. You know, usually it dissipates like everything about a beholder. It'll start, you know, degrading as soon as it dies. Yeah, but you can get
I don't want to. Sorry to cut you off.
No,
just real quick though, in case people are asking, like, yes, this book answers what it's like to eat a beholder.
Yes,
we're at the end of week one, and you're like, I don't know whether I should buy this book. Like, yes, it addresses that question that we've all been asking. So.
Yep. So, but I just immediately got this hook in my head of like, there's a crazy engineer who found a new secret to flight, and you need to go harvest a liter of this teucium.
Yeah. Yeah. Some like little gnome guy.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to make a balloon. And then like his competitor, like in a, like a Tesla, you know, kind of thing, is flying better and easier. And then you find out that he's actually has beholders inside the balloon.
Yeah.
You know, and it burst open during the big balloon race.
Yeah, and he's always been a bunch of beholders the whole time.
Yeah. He takes off his normal head and puts on a beholder head calmly, like onto his.
I got that image so many times. I'm just like, aha! I haven't revealed my truest secret, and then just the head flies off and the socks start popping out.
I just want to like calmly like go about my day, and then come home. Like go to like an unseen prior to this, like kind of like bureau, just calmly take off my head, put it onto a hook, you know, by my mouth, and then just pull a beholder head and stick it on and be like, time to party. Yes.
I want to be unaware that this is my true nature. I want it to be like an X-Men, like a quickening.
Oh yeah.
Like a quickening through puberty. I just want to be so angry that my head just flies up off my body and sprouts.
Yeah. Stalks. Just explodes. Or like a Jekyll and Hyde thing. Like,
oh yeah.
You know, like ordinarily you're mild mannered Cole, but if somebody accidentally gives you a colored t-shirt, you become Beholder Cole.
Where did Cole's head go? Where is my mind?
Yeah. It's, we gotta talk about the rest of these powers though.
We really do,
because these are real good.
Because we already know from the main entries what each of the individual stalks do. What this chapter concerns itself with is the kind of non-standard
application. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Like, yeah. Like how do they use a disintegration ray? Well, let me tell you.
It's very cool.
Yeah.
Like the way they use it. They tunnel with it.
Yeah.
Primarily. But then they also use it for, before we get to the disintegration.
Yeah.
So kind of going in order, the anti-magic ray, which is like, you can see when they first made this was just so your high level wizard couldn't just like nuke the beholders.
Of course.
But they introduced this stuff called Blackstone, which is this like, it's stone that is exactly as strong as stone, but, is magical and like anti-magic things destroy it. So they set up like traps and deadfalls and shit.
Yeah.
If they look at this wall, it disappears.
Yeah, it's temporary. Is what it is. So like, you know, if anti-magic or dispel hits it, it goes away. And so they say like, oh, they can't actually drop rocks on you magically, but they can install beams of this stuff at the top of the cavern and then laboriously pile 100 tons of stone atop them. So they've got these layers that are full of traps and full of these like essentially Minecraft redstone creations that they can activate and deactivate at will by just focusing their anti-magic ray on it.
Just by looking at it.
Yeah.
It's very cool. The first thought when I read that was like how much of a pain in the ass it would have to be to like reset these traps. Oh, like, yeah. I know they're not doing it, but like essentially this entire book I read through the lens of like, what if that was me?
Because one day it could be. You can't.
Yeah, because a man's got a dream. Yeah. But it was just like how much of a pain that would be. Like, let's say, you know, some adventurers raid you. They've killed all your servants. You set off all your traps. You survive. And it's like, oh, my God. Like, I got to redo all this stuff. It's probably because I'm packing to move right now. So in many ways, I feel akin. I feel beholder akin. So charm person, they use in battle and stuff. But they also use it to as a research tool.
Yeah.
So like somebody shows up, they're like, hey, calm down. Let's have a chat. And then they just said that they said this person's like, oh, this is a nice beholder. I'm going to sit down and they just like calmly make this guy tell them their secrets before they eat them.
Yeah. Yeah. They do the same thing with charm monster because beholders, for as adept as they are at combat, they're lazy boys. So they want to have other people, you know, and other entities do their fighting for them or to avoid combat altogether. Same thing with sleep. But then we get this stripe with the sleep ray, which says that beholders are immune to all sleep rays, right? Like beholders are mostly immune to each other, except their own ancestors will, like their beams will work on them.
Yes. Go to bed, Ixitel. Go to bed. I'm counting to three. And then you just imagine a beholder turning on and off a light, like, you know, anti-magicking the cover on the lantern on and off, like when I'm time to go to sleep. And then zap you a sleep ray. Telekinesis, which we talked about, which is mostly, you know, it's utilitarian.
It's their hand.
Except for some of them have all of their individual eye stalks devoted to telekinesis, and these are like the most renowned of the beholders. They're, like, because they can create crazy shit.
Yeah, they're the craftsmen.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. Like you know, eight little like tiny little telekinetic things. I'm just imagining them like calmly disassembling a watch. You know, or like a fighter runs up with a crossbow and then the crossbow gets like just burst into all its constituent parts, you know, and floating in air, like super cool.
I just pictured a beholder unsnapping another beholder's bra, which doesn't make any sense.
I'm glad beholders don't have just one boob that just drags under them.
I'm sure that's in the tome of Defiled Darkness or whatever it is, like the teat mother.
Yeah, like milk float. Like, I do not like the milk float. That's my least favorite abomination beholder.
The real magic starts with flesh to stone.
Yeah. This is extremely good. So like, of course you can just turn people to stone.
Right.
And they do.
The combat uses is apparent. The artistic use is also apparent, but they go into great detail about the care that beholders take to sometimes set up whole walls of battle scenes.
Yeah, because they can charm people. So they set somebody, they create these like awesome like scenes of battle, or they have someone, you know, somebody frozen. They make somebody else like grab them, freeze them, and they create these walls of old adventurers. Mm-hmm. They also use charm to position them in either amusing or frightened positions through like charm. And I love it so much. Like, hey, would you mind striking a pose for me? Like,
can you do a little turn?
Yeah. Would you do your little dance on the catwalk? Yeah. On the catwalk? Would you shake your little tush on the catwalk? Okay. And, you know, and then
that's right.
Yeah.
Make love to the camera. Blink.
Yeah. Super good.
Yeah. But that's not all. Gary, one of our favorite words, they can make a larder.
Yeah. They can make a larder. Because they have that meat locker cave. So.
Yep. So they will freeze somebody in stone, keep them around. They can reverse it later. It doesn't matter if they're still alive because the meat's still fresh.
Yeah. Yeah. They flash freeze it.
Mm-hmm.
They use disintegrate not only to do tunnels, which you mentioned, but also to change these sculptures.
Yeah.
So like, I'm imagining like you have one of your friends goes in and gets frozen. You distract the beholder. You sneak in with your stone to flesh scroll to get back your beloved. When you do it, you find that their cheekbones are just muscle because the beholder has disintegrated off sections and given them plastic surgery or changed the way their face looks or something.
Oh, Jesus.
You know, or disintegrated off their ding dong.
He was jealous.
Yeah. Like, you don't get an eye stalk like that. Like. It's super, super cool. The idea of being frozen and then unfrozen after you've been sculpted.
Yeah.
You know, that's fucking scary.
There's really nothing that interesting about the fear, slow, or cause wounds or death. Like, that's all just combat stuff.
Yeah.
And then like the powers of the beholder kin, that's nothing too crazy.
Yeah, beholder kin kind of suck.
Yeah, we talked about those at length. All of that is there. And then there are beholder related spells, including the aforementioned spell for the spectators, where you give them a life quest.
Yes, you give them purpose. Weirdly enough, like this section is written, sometimes it is written for beholders and sometimes it is written for humans.
It's kind of hard to tell which is which.
Yeah, because there's the fourth level wizard spell, Control Death Tyrant. And then the, what is it? The sixth level spell, Control Death Tyrant. And one of them, a beholder can do.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them, a human can do.
Yeah.
And there's nothing really pointing out which one is which.
Yeah. Or
I don't really get it.
Or any clear rules for rolling a beholder player character.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not meant for that. So why even, you know, why not just say beholders can do this?
Right. Right.
Like, why not make it a racial ability? it's dumb.
Yeah.
And then the highest level thing that a human can do is create a death tyrant.
Yes.
Which we talked about, which just seems like a terrible idea.
Oh, of course. I mean, it's going to turn on you. Like, just turn yourself into a lich. You don't need an eye lich.
The good aligned wizards who cast the spell should be severely punished.
By who? Brought to you by our backers at patreon.com/duckfeedtv.